Are you an armchair Christian? What exactly do I mean by that? And an armchair Christian could be defined as somebody who believes in God, who believes that the Bible is the Word of God, who believes in the doctrines of the Bible, but he does nothing with the knowledge that he has. Now, obviously, that was a rhetorical question. But are you, or are people in the world, armchair Christians? Now, let me ask you another question. Was Christ an armchair Christian? Was Christ an armchair Christian? Well, today what we're going to do in the sermonette is we're going to look at some examples of what made Christ such an effective worker for God. I don't know if you realize this or not, but there are many, many places in the Bible where it talks about God and about how God, Jesus Christ, while he was alive on earth as a human being, how hard he worked. And in most of the movies that you see that claim to try to portray Christ, they portray him as some weakling walking around in a white robe who never actually physically ever does anything except look at people. And the Jesus of the Bible was actually a very, very hard worker, and we're going to look at that. Now, first point is that Jesus Christ was a contractor. Now, we look in the Bible and it says he was a carpenter. And a carpenter is actually a builder of things. And that would be more or less like a contractor. He would probably have to know a little bit about plumbing, because houses in Galilee had plumbing. He would have to know about how to install doors and windows, how to move stones, how to dig out cellars, how to build roofs, how to make the furniture and the tables that went inside. He was like a mason. He worked in construction. He moved beams, blocks. A lot of the buildings were built out of large stones. He probably fabricated the inside and outside of buildings and had them plastered. And he would probably, in today's term, be considered a construction contractor. We have this concept of Jesus being in a back room hammering with a chisel. And he probably was much more than that. And as a spiritual worker, Christ walked all over Galilee, and he preached, he healed, he comforted, and he taught. Let's look at John, and let's look at the kind of person that Jesus was. John chapter 21. You know, I read about the things that Jesus did. You know, he walked out into the Sea of Galilee, and if you look at where he started and where he walked, that was a lot of miles that he walked. He walked here, he walked there, he walked from one village to the other. Let me ask you a question, kind of things that maybe we don't consider. Where did Jesus get the money for his ministry? You think that he earned money and just spent it all? There's indications that he was not extremely wealthy, but he was well off. He had when he was crucified, he was wearing a garment that they didn't want to split because it was a very high quality. It talks about him often being in the house or in the home, which indicates that he was in a house. You know, he wasn't wandering the streets at night. He had a place he lived. And probably some of the commentators say that was probably his house. So he probably owned a house. Let's look at John chapter 21 and in verse 25. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. So apparently Jesus did so much. He was a doer. He didn't sit around all day long. He was a doer. He was a hard worker. And it says here that what we are reading about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is just a little tidbit of the things he did. And if we were to write down all the things that he did, it would fill up several volumes. So apparently, you know, Jesus was not an armchair Christian. Jesus led a very, very active life. Christ had something that we all should have that made him a very, very effective worker. Christ had enthusiasm. He was a very enthusiastic individual. Enthusiastic is from the word is from the Greek, enthusiasmos, and it means God in us. So if anybody could fulfill the definition of God being in them, it would be certainly Jesus Christ, because he often talked about how he and the Father were one. So Jesus Christ had God living in him. He was enthusiastic because everywhere he went, God was with him. So he lived his life as if God was living his life in him. I'd like to read you a quote from Theodore Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt is probably one of my favorite presidents. He was an explorer. He was a soldier. He was a cowboy. He was a wrangler. He was very sickly when he was a child, had asthma. So the doctors told him, you're going to probably be bedridden the rest of your life. So he was about 10 or 11 years old when they told him this. And he said, I don't want to be bedridden the rest of my life. So he devoted himself to a life of being outdoors. And he lived a very active life. Excuse me. Let me give you a couple of little tidbits about President Roosevelt that you maybe didn't know. Roosevelt was blind in one eye. You ask, how did he get blind? Well, he loved to box. He loved to box. As a matter of fact, he would box when he was president. He would box in the White House, and he would take off his shirt, keep his pants on, put on some athletic shoes, and select one of the Secret Service men or one of the very many military officials that were there, and they would often box, sometimes for an hour or two each day. And one time he got hit in the eye, detached retina, and he lost his eye. He gave up boxing, but he took up jiu-jitsu instead. So he was very active. He was the first president to ever fly. He took a 4-minute trip on the plane the Wright brothers built back in October 11th, 1910. So he was the very first president to ever fly in an airplane. He was also the first president to win the Nobel Peace Prize. And that was actually when winning the Nobel Peace Prize meant something. Let me read you a quote from President Theodore Roosevelt. Now, I'm often surprised by people who comment about other people. And usually what surprises me is these people that are commenting about other people comment about how they're not doing something correct. Yet the person commenting about it is not doing anything. It's not doing anything. So we should be very careful when we criticize people that are actually doing the job. And Jesus Christ was actually doing a job and a work. Here is a quote from Theodore Roosevelt. It is not the critic who counts, nor the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, and sometimes comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcomings, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotings, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. If you wanted a quote that symbolized Jesus Christ's life, that would be it. He was the one that was in the arena. He was the one that was doing it. He was the one that was actually healing people, spreading the gospel, doing the work. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, all they did was point fingers. But Jesus Christ was actually the one that was doing it. One of the things that made Jesus great was that he strove to please his heavenly Father. He strove to please his heavenly Father. His work was one of constantly, time and again, trying to do the Father's will. You remember the Holy Spirit coming down on the day of Pentecost? When he was baptized by the Jordan River, by John the Baptist, and the dove descended on him. It was a symbol. And the voice, not God, but a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Nothing makes a son better than to hear his father say that. And that's one of the main things that a father can say about his sons, is that they are well pleased. He's well pleased in them. Let's go to John chapter 4. Let's look at this example here. Jesus Christ was a hard worker. He was a man of action who did things. If you wanted something done, you gave it to Jesus to do. John 4, verse 31. And it says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, did somebody bring him food that we don't know about? I mean, it was just like food right over their head. Did somebody feed him? Who fed Jesus that we don't know about? You can see them kind of conversing with each other. Jesus said to him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. And he who reaps, which means you get out in the field in the hot sun and you work until you're sweating, until you're thirsty, until you're exhausted. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. Jesus Christ sowed. We are in this age reaping. Verse 38, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. That is us, brethren. That's talking about us. We are fellow workers with Jesus Christ. We are fellow workers with Jesus Christ. We're not in the church called to retire. God did not call us to a retirement. He called us to work. And it says here that we have to work. Many of the ministers who actually, quote unquote, retire, they still work very, very long hours. Still work very, very long hours and very hard workers. So I'm not talking about physical retirement. I'm talking about being in the harness and working. Jesus Christ was that way. He worked very, very hard. He was a very, very good worker. He wanted to do the work of his Father. That's what he wanted to do. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Most of the ministry retires at a very late age, are underpaid when they retire, and are still having to work when they retire. So the ministers are a good example of hard workers. We should follow their example, the example that Christ set for us and for them. Revelation chapter 2. It's a very interesting scripture here. Revelation chapter 2. It says in verse 26. Revelation 2. This is a message to the seven churches. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. And he who overcomes, this is Christ speaking, he's speaking to the churches. Are we part of the church? Yes, we are. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. You see the word overcome? That's a very interesting word. I could hold up a tennis shoe up here with a little Nike swoosh. And you would say, what does that have to do with this? Well, the word overcome is a word Nike or Nika. It actually means, let me read you what it says in Strong's. It means to conquer, to carry off the victory, especially when applied to Christians that hold fast their faith, even unto death, against the power of their foes and temptations and persecutions. All of us here have been called to work. We've been called to work. Physically and spiritually, to be like Christ. And what did Christ do? Christ pleased his heavenly Father. So, are you an armchair Christian? Well, the answer is easy, and I'm being rhetorical here, brethren. I'm trying to prod you along a little bit. Are you an armchair Christian? The answer is easy. Are you doing the work of the Father? Whatever the work of the Father is, whatever work he's given you, and for each of us, it's a little bit different. Are you doing it? Are you fulfilling that? Are you an armchair Christian? No, I'm a sofa Christian. No, I'm a love seat Christian. We shouldn't be any of those. We should be hardworking physically and spiritually. Our Heavenly Father wants people that are workers. We should be working hard and striving to fulfill God's will for us.